Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. So glad that you're here. Did anybody still have to use the heat on the way to church this morning? Yeah, I see that head. Well, guess what? There's no heat in here, so if you're cold, just get close to each other, all right? So it was so cold. I was thinking about all the things. It was so cold. It was so cold that I almost put on a robe this morning. Okay, listen, I was at our grandkids' baseball game last night. Somewhere in there, I got so excited. I don't know what happened, but on my iPhone, in about 2 minutes' time, I made 10 calls. And so I called our son Caleb. I called Lowell. I called Haley. I called Janie. I called Henry and Mary Sally. I called Camilla Bonifield. I called my brother Joe 3 times. And so I think he was worried about me. But anyway, listen, we all know what an accidental call is. We typically call it something other than an accidental call. I don't have to say that word here. But anyway, I just want you to know there's nothing accidental whatsoever about why you are here this morning. God has called you here. God wants to meet with you here. Here's the scripture. This is from Isaiah 49. I think we have this up there somewhere, Bentley. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Surely not, right? But though she may forget, this is the Lord, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." So I just want you to know, I don't know what you do with your cell phone, how many accidental calls you may make, but the Lord in His hands, you are never forgotten. In His hands, He knows your number. He knows your needs. He knows your hurts. And He's here this day not to make an accidental call. The Lord is here today to meet with you. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for every person here. Lord, we may have come here this morning because this is what we're supposed to do, kind of show up. But Lord, that's not why you have come. God, you have come here today because you know where we need you the most. God, you know what's going on inside of us. And so, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Do what needs to be done in each and every one of us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all, one announcement. Delee, there you are. Okay, VBS, I got to give them my 3 P's. You give them the real, but my 3 P's are, please pray for VBS. We're going to have hundreds of kids who come and they do not have a relationship with Jesus. They may not even have heard about Jesus. Please be praying for VBS. And then P, the second P, participate. We need leaders, helpers. And Delee can say so much more about this, but we can all do it. Even if you can do it for half the week or 2 of the days, your help is welcome. And then 3, the last P is party, because we really bring snacks and bring cookies and bring bread. What's VBS without those things?
So celebrate anyway. God's goodness.
Yes. Oh, party. Celebrate party. Yeah. Celebrate God's goodness.
So we're partying all week. So gifts are always helpful too. Donations are helpful. I try to buy everything in bulk to save money. I'm trying to think. You just like landed it all. Pray. We have about, I haven't done the math recently, we're getting close to 180 to 200 kids registered, and we can hold up to 350. So we still got lots of room for plenty more kids to come. So be praying about that our registration will continue to grow. And then volunteer-wise, I need a high school boy that doesn't have a job, that likes little kids, I know I'm making the list harder and harder. Miles Buford and Clay Patton were my elementary game leaders for years and years and years, but they've grown up and gotten jobs and they can't help me anymore. And so I need someone to help with elementary games. So if y'all know anybody that would do great at that, please send them my way. And then I need a preschool music teacher. And you don't have to memorize the music. You just have to be fun and engaging and get the kids to be engaging too. So those are my two biggest needs right now. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Other than that, I just need some continued crew leaders for elementary kids. Pre-K filled up real fast. We have room for assistants in pre-K, but I need some main leaders in elementary. So I think that's all. And if y'all have any questions, please text me. Please call me. Let me know.
Lord Jesus, thank you and praise you for DeLee and her leadership. God, just her openness to you for you to just be... Lord, provide the right leaders in the right places. And Lord, these children, you say, let the little children come unto me. So Lord, let this be a place of encounter between you and the children. And that only happens if adults, if youth are willing to say yes to you to make this happen. Come, Lord Jesus, in this ministry. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's pray. God, thank you and praise you for Larry. God, he is your son, your servant. Lord, your hand is upon him. You've been doing deep and mighty things within him and through him all these years. God, we pray for you to do something in June that's beyond even our greatest dreams, God, that you would do something in this Kairos that radically changes the world from this day forth. Lord Jesus, provide all the resources, all the needs. And Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, all that we are, all that we have, we give to you. Lord, receive our gifts, whether they be small or great. Receive our gifts and use our gifts to change this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Okay. Great. Okay, hear and receive God's word, not just sung, but hear and receive God's word planted deep within. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and as you sing hymns and as you sing spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord Jesus, we ask, we pray for you to make your word come alive and pierce to the very core of our being. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Lord, there's not a one of us here that doesn't need to hear and receive, hear and heed your voice. So Lord, change the way we dress. Change the way we look on the outside by coming and transforming us on the inside. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So y'all, this morning, we're just going to go verse by verse through today's scripture. And as we're doing that, we're just going to look at five observations about our passage, okay? First observation, to play or not to play, that is the question. To get dressed or not dressed, to suit up or not suit up, to play or not play, that is the choice. That is the critical issue facing every single one of us, all of us who call ourselves by the name of Jesus. Are we going to stay in the stands, right? Are we going to stay on the sidelines and watch? Are we going to cheer from the track? Or are we going to get in the game? I don't know when it happened, but somewhere along the way, somebody whose name rhymes with Hayton, a.k.a. Satan, somewhere along the way, Satan tried to turn Christianity or made Christianity become all about where we sit on some random Sunday morning instead of how we live and how we love the rest of our lives every single day, all week long. The truth is our Christianity, our faith, is all about who we are in relationship with Jesus this way and who we are in relationship with each other this way. Your family, your workplace, your neighbors, your Christ-centered followers, family that we call St. Luke's, your every single encounter of every single day, that is where the game that matters is being played. That's the field that God has called us to. That's the field, the mission field, where we play out and live out our faith in Jesus. Now, for some of us here this morning, the question is, are you going to keep playing the game or are you just going to quit? Have you gotten so bored or so weary because you've been trying to play in your own strength that you're just done? You're just throwing in the towel. For others of us here this morning, the question is, are you going to get off the sidelines and get back in the game? Or are you going to get off your rear and get in gear? That's the question. The question for some of us here this morning is, are you going to, you know, quit questioning the coach and do exactly what he is telling you to do? For others, the question is, you really have thought that this game was all about you. And when the game didn't give you the results you wanted, you took your ball and you went home. And still the coach is calling, come and play, come and play, come and play with me. For some of you, you've never really understood that there really was such a thing like this game called Christianity. For some of you, you never really understood that there was a game you were supposed to be a part of. You really did think that the game was right here, was showing up at 10:45 on a Sunday morning. So right now, in this very moment, may all of us here, Coach Jesus, may all of us hear His Holy Spirit stir in all of us that there is a great game with great teammates that's being played right now. There is a great game with the most important outcome in all of human history being played right now. And the God of the universe has chosen you. The God of the universe has chosen you to be on His team. Are you going to stay on the sidelines? Are you going to stay in the stands? Or are you going to get in the game? The choice, the decision to suit up, the decision to play or not play begins right here in your heart. The very first thing that has to happen is a matter of the heart. You have to choose your chosenness. You have to be open to receive your call. You have to say yes, sir, to the coach that loves you so much that he died for you. You have to say yes, sir, to the coach who has forgiven you of your sin. Yes, sir, to the coach who has freed you from your sin. Yes, sir, to the coach who has filled you with His very Spirit. To play or not to play, that is the question. To play or not to play, that is the critical, all-important choice that all of us are faced with this very morning. What's your answer? To play or not to play? To stay on the side or get in the game. Second observation in this passage is that we have to engage in Jesus-centered method acting 101. Method acting 101. Look at the Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Method acting is when an actor enters into his or her character at the beginning of a play or movie-making process, and they never leave that character until the whole project is done. Leonardo DiCaprio finally achieved his first Oscar when he delivered a powerful performance in the film The Revenant. DiCaprio got into the soul of his movie character by feeding himself on raw bison liver. Woohoo! But by sleeping in a freshly killed animal carcass, and by throwing himself again and again into freezing water so that he was constantly battling the reality of hypothermia. Y'all, that's method acting. Tom Hanks delivered one of the best performances of his career in the film Castaway, where he played the role of Chuck Nolan, a FedEx employee from Memphis who, you know, his plane crashes and he finds himself stranded on that island for years and years. So in order to really get into his character, Hanks went without a shower for weeks and months, eventually developing a staph infection. The production of the film was shut down for a whole year after filming the first part of the movie so that Hanks could lose 55 pounds, grow a really long beard, and develop a deep island tan. Y'all, that's method acting. So here in Colossians, Paul is calling us to put on, to get into the very character of Jesus. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. But what Paul is talking about is method acting with a twist. Because what he's calling us to is not just about us getting into Jesus' character traits, but rather Jesus' character. Jesus' very Holy Spirit getting into us. The Holy Spirit getting into us and refining us and reshaping us and actually reforming us into the very likeness of Jesus. Method actors experience a change that occurs for a few months, but in Jesus, we experience a transformation that lasts, a transformation into His image that lasts an eternity. Compassion, kindness, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiveness. These are not items on some kind of a moral checklist or a virtue to-do list. But rather, these characteristics are the outflowing work of the inflowing of God's Holy Spirit. Foundational principle from back in our college days. God doesn't care about your actions. What God cares about is your heart. Because if He gets your heart, He will have your actions. Who or what has your heart this morning? What matters is who or what is calling the shots in here. Because, y'all, that's what's going to make all the difference out there. God has to call the shots here for us to be who He wants us to be out there. This morning, are you letting, not just trying to make things a little better, but are you letting Jesus truly come and enter the very center of your being? Third observation in this passage is that love is the kingpin purpose of God's work in us. Love is the kingpin. Colossians 3:14 says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Love is not in addition to, but rather love is above all. Love is not the last characteristic of Jesus that we need to put in place, but rather the first and primary Christ-centered value that must become real to us and in us so that it can be real through us. This love that Paul is talking about in this passage is not the fickle love of this world. The world's love, the love that Hollywood is trying to sell us, is a here today and gone tomorrow kind of love. The world's love is a love that often abandons us and leaves us, you know, rejected and all alone. Anybody out there ever had to break up with somebody? The world's love is about gratifying our desires on our terms. The world's love is conditional and temporary and impotent to bring about any kind of lasting change. But the agape love that Paul is talking about, asking us to put on, the agape love of God that is found in Jesus, that agape love of God that Paul says is above all, the agape love of God that Paul says it binds everything together in unity, that love of Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. We may be all alone in this world, but we will never be separated from His love, never be separated from His presence. Everybody else may have abandoned us. The people we love most may have hurt us the most, but Jesus never will abandon us. That love, Jesus' love, is radically unconditional, no matter what we've done. He loves us. There's nothing we can do to make God love us anymore. There's nothing we can do to make God love us any less. He loves us. That love, Jesus' love, meets us in our sin and powerfully transforms us into His image. In bowling, the kingpin is that front and center pin, right? The kingpin is the first pin which must be addressed for your throw, your roll, to be successful. Putting on the love of Jesus is our always first, our always primary agenda as followers of Jesus. This is what J.D. said this week. If you've been reading the Seedbed text, I hope you are. This is what J.D. said this week about Colossians 3:14. He calls it Domino 3:14. Think about it. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience bound together in the perfect unity of love. These are not the ruts of morality, but the realm of the miraculous. We don't need a moral vision. We need a vision of holiness. Now, I don't know about you, but holiness for me growing up was, you know, don't smoke, drink, or chew, or date girls that do. That's not holiness. Holiness is the love of God that we experience and know in Jesus Christ. He says, I'm willing to be wrong about this, but here's how I see it. Morality is a very low bar. And that's what we're aiming for. Our lives, if that's what we're aiming for, our lives will hover back and forth just above or below this threshold. If all we have is a line, you know, drawn across here called morality, then we're going to get as close to we can. Maybe we'll get on the other side of it, but we're just going to hover right here. Love, on the other hand, is the holy presence of Jesus Christ, filling human beings together to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is the secret long hidden and now revealed. It's not about aspiring to better behavior, but becoming abandoned to Jesus. Not just looking a little bit better on the outside, but being radically transformed on the inside, surrendered to Jesus, giving yourselves to Him. Now, when I see folks, right, stuck and not going anywhere in their faith, I understand it's because they're doing it in their own strength. They're trusting in themselves to make themselves better or different. That's not what Paul is talking about in Colossians 3. It's not about you tweaking things a little bit here and a little bit there. Not about you amping up your goodness gauge, but rather about surrendering yourself. About making the totality of yourself open to the indwelling love and presence and power of God's Spirit living and reigning in you. We sang the song this morning in the early service. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. We can't know compassion and kindness and meekness and forgiveness. We can't bear with each other's burden until we are changed. The outflow of who we are is never going to change until the inflow, the indwelling presence of Jesus becomes real in us, for us, and through us. Fourth observation in our passage this morning is that peace and gratitude, they're connected. Peace and gratitude have a direct and essential connection and correlation. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Paul is pointing out to his hearers 2,000 years ago and to his hearers this morning the profound and essential connection between peace and gratitude. Peace from God always results in thankfulness to God. When you're aware of how God is working powerfully and purposefully in your life, you can't help but be thankful. For the Spirit-filled, passionate, a growing follower of Jesus, gratitude is a way of life. It's who you are. It's who you want to be. because life has ceased to be all about you, and instead it's now become all about him. If you have a gratitude problem this morning, my hunch is you have a spiritual problem this morning. This is what Pastor Clay Ritter said. He's talking about thankfulness. He said, Jesus has poured out blessings upon all his creation, but it's only to humanity that he has given the desire and ability to express gratitude. Thankfulness is the means by which we become rightly oriented with God and with one another. Thanksgiving is the natural outflowing of a heart that is attuned to God, a heart that is aligned with God, and a heart that desires God and wants to walk with him. Thanksgiving is the mark of a joyous Christian. It's only when we are truly grateful to God, only when that kind of thanksgiving has permeated into the marrow of our soul, only then is when we can fully appreciate who God is and what he has done for us, that we indeed are his children, that he loves us greatly. An ungrateful heart is a heart that is cold toward God. A heart that is indifferent to his love that he pours out so lavishly upon us. An ungrateful heart is a heart that has forgotten how dependent we are on God for everything, even the breath we breathe. Nothing turns us into bitter. Nothing turns us into bitter, empty, dissatisfied people more than an ungrateful heart. So I ask you this morning, on a scale from 1 to 10, you know, with 1 being ungrateful, empty, and bitter, and 10 being full and overflowing with gratitude and thanksgiving to God, where are you from 1 to 10? Well, I'm about a 3, or I'm a 5, or I'm a 7. Well, I'm a 2, or I'm an 8. No, there's really only one place for us to be. And if we're not here, it means that something's gone awry. Something's not right in who we are and who we see ourselves to be as a son or a daughter of the living God. Where are you, 1 to 10? Man, in my own life, when I realize I'm moving down instead of up that scale, I realize something's not right in here. I also want to be real clear this morning when it comes to peace and gratitude. When it comes to peace and gratitude, that the peace that Paul is talking about is not the superficial version of peace that sees peace as only the absence of conflict. Peace is more than the absence of war. Peace is more than the absence of conflict or the absence of difficulty in our lives. Instead, true peace is God's presence in the midst of whatever we're facing. True peace is God's presence, not just in the middle of our stuff, God's presence in the middle of us. That's why the Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he had peace on the boat when the storm had everybody else scared for their very lives. Jesus is the Prince of Peace even when he grieves over Jerusalem. Jesus is the Prince of Peace even when he cries at the grave of Lazarus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace even when he is in an all-out confrontation with the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Jesus is the Prince of Peace even when he's in travailing prayer in that garden and great drops of blood are pouring down his brow. Jesus is the Prince of Peace even when the cat of nine tails is ripping away flesh from his back. Jesus is the Prince of Peace as the crown of thorns is beaten to his brow. Jesus is the Prince of Peace as they drive the spikes into his hands and to his feet. Jesus is the Prince of Peace even as he feels the profound and knows the profound forsakenness of our sin deep down to the core of his being. He is still the Prince of Peace. And Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ, that peace, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. You see, true peace is more than mere comfort. True peace is more than our convenience. True peace is more than easy expedience. Peace is what comes in our life when the Prince of Peace comes. Peace is what comes in our life when the Prince of Peace comes and takes up precedence in our souls and our hearts. This morning, are you grateful? Are you at peace? Do you have Jesus ruling and reigning in the core of your being? Final observation about suiting up for Jesus is that saturation and action, they're partners. Saturation and action are essential partners for us to be and become the sons and daughters of God that He desires us to be. First we get saturated, then we get actuated, okay? First we get saturated, then we get actuated. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and sing hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. First, we have to get saturated. Then we get actuated. Saturated in the word of Christ. Saturated the living word of God. The word of Jesus begins to dwell in you richly. We talk it and we walk it. We know it and we live it. We teach it and we use it to help each other, encourage each other to be who God wants us to be. We get saturated. We're to be saturated in singing songs and singing hymns and singing praises to God. Saturated with singing and thankfulness in our hearts. See if y'all know some of these. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Rick, is that your favorite song? It is, isn't it? See if you know this one. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. How about when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, with all who will trust and obey. Y'all remember? Now look, Thanks, Rick. Rick and I, by the way, are the same age, almost. We know these songs because these are songs. Y'all will walk out of here and not remember the sermon, but you will remember the songs. And we got to saturate ourselves with these songs. Saturate ourselves with the Word of God. How about this next one? In our lives, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In our lives, Lord, be glorified today. In our family, be glorified, be glorified. In our family, be glorified today. Y'all, first we get saturated, then we get actuated. So I've got two buckets up here. I got two rags up here. And so one bucket, we got water, right? One bucket, we have gas. So we're going to let the rags get all saturated. So, you know, look, I can take this rag, and it's soaked. It's soaked through and through with water. If I take this rag up to that candle, what's going to happen? I'm probably going to put the candle out, I think. Y'all want to see? No, I won't do it. Okay. All right. Okay, but if I take this one, right, saturated in gas, and I take this rag completely soaked in gas, and I walk that. Y'all ready? No. Okay, so if I walk that even close to that candle, we're going to have fire. You see, you want to know why we don't have fire in the church of Jesus? Because we're not saturated in the Word. We're not saturated in singing hymns and praise songs and thanksgiving to God. We're saturated in 24/7 Fox News. We're saturated, you know, in Facebook. We're saturated in listening to sports radio. We're saturated in reading stuff on our phone. We're saturated in all the stuff. So when we get close to the fire of Jesus, nothing happens. We got to get saturated in the Word, in His Word. Saturated in prayer. We got to take our country channels, you know, that we love, our classic channels we love, and we got to listen to the songs of Jesus. Y'all, if you're wondering, well, I don't know what's wrong with my faith. I don't know why anything dynamic and awesome's not. I mean, you don't want to know why. Because you're saturated with the wrong stuff. First we get saturated, then we get actuated. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is one of the most important scriptures in my life. I really gave my life to Christ between my junior and senior year in high school. The very first thing that I hit was trying to play football for the Lorenzo Hornets that fall. By the way, you know, that's our, you know, you got symbols like this is our symbol. It's a little stinger right there. That's scary, that symbol. Anyway, okay. When I was playing football, it was like, in everything I do, in word or deed, do everything to the glory of God. In everything I do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus. So what's it mean to play football for Jesus? What's it mean to do school for Jesus? What's it mean to fall in love and try to be a husband to Janie for Jesus? In word or deed, whatever you do. What's it mean to be a dad or a granddad? What's it mean to try to be your pastor? What's it mean to set up tables and chairs in the fellowship hall or cook dinner for college students on Wednesday night? What's it mean to prepare or preach a sermon? To do all you do in word or deed in the very character of Jesus. Y'all, Whatever you do, whatever roof you fix, right? Whatever pensions you fix, right? You know, whatever students you teach, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God in the very character of Jesus. I want to close this morning with a story about Alan Bozak. He's a South African pastor who fought against apartheid for decades. It was years and years before God's truth and love and justice finally won out in his home nation. And Bozak said that in his own mind, he thinks that our final judgment before Jesus may be a little different than what we've always imagined. Bozak says that one day we'll all find ourselves standing before Jesus, and Jesus will look at us and he'll ask, "My children, where are your scars?" And then we'll look at him with all his scars, his feet and his hands and his side and his back are beaten to a pulp and his brow still scarred from the crown of thorns. And we'll look at Jesus and we'll look at ourselves and we'll say, "But Lord, we have no scars." And then Jesus will say to us, "Was there nothing worth fighting for? Was there nothing worth giving your lives for? What did the masses of lost people in our nation, in our city, in our own families, was that not enough? Was that not worth fighting for? What about the children who have never truly known what it is to be loved and cared for? Were they not worth fighting for? What about all the people who've never even heard my name or known my grace? Was there nothing worth fighting for?" in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name, in the very character of Jesus. Lord God, this morning, forgive our nominalism, our lukewarmness. Forgive us for thinking that Christianity is a spectator sport. God, get us in the game. Get us engaged in the things that you care about. Move us from life that's all about us to a life that's all about you. A life of peace and gratitude. Lord Jesus, come. Lord, I don't know what it means, but every single person here, they've heard your voice and they've heard your call. And they know what it is to move from wherever it is they came in here to the place of obedience that you're calling them to right now. Lord, I pray that they would say, yes, sir, to you, Coach Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you for caring about us, for giving yourself for us, for showing us what love is. But Lord, as you come, Holy Spirit, as you come, let us not just know what love is for us. Let us begin to live what love is to be like through us. Have your way with us, Jesus. We don't give a part of ourselves to you today. We give all of ourselves to you. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we're singing our closing song of worship, pray in your seats, but also know that you're always welcome to come and pray at this altar. I'm going to the altar. I got a gratitude problem. I'm moving the wrong direction, and I know why. It's not because of God, what God's doing or not doing. It's because of what I'm seeing and not seeing. It's my heart that's hard. It's not His provision that's grown cold. It's my heart that's grown cold. This morning, y'all come. Come to this altar. Give yourself to Jesus. Let Him give His Spirit to you. Let's stand as we sing.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.